tonight. Take your Bible tonight, if you will. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. We want to look at one verse right here tonight, and then we'll use that as our text. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject of no tomorrow. No tomorrow. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, very simple verse. We've heard it. You've heard it quoted. You may have memorized it at some point in time. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. It's kind of interesting when you talk with people. It seems that they're more sure of tomorrow than they are any other day. We just have our plans made. People are counting on seeing tomorrow's sun come up. They know it's going to happen, and they boast of what's going to happen tomorrow, and they do that more so than they boast about their own traits, their own abilities, but they're counting on tomorrow. They know it's going to take place and got plans made, got it outlined. You know, holiday tomorrow, and I'm sure most everybody here has got some kind of plan made. Now, it may not be extravagant. You say, well, I'm planning to get up in the morning and eat breakfast. But we're planning. We've got plans. Some people maybe getting together with family, maybe having a cookout. And I was asking my son this morning, what are you planning to do tomorrow? He said, I got to work. I said, well, okay. And what we do, we make plans when we plan for tomorrow. Now, I want to mention to you two people that I knew of and knew just a little bit. In 1969, there were two fellows who were in very different circumstances and faced very different situations, but one of them was Barry Leatherman. Barry Leatherman was a freshman at TCU on a football scholarship in 1969. The other one was a fellow named Mike Rhodes. Mike Rhodes was a soldier in Vietnam. Both of those fellows, you know, looking forward to some things. Barry Leatherman went to a basketball game, watching his old high school play basketball. Went to that basketball game, and after that game, he's leaving, and he got shot and killed out on the parking lot right here in Fort Worth at public schools gymnasium. Just like that, his life was ended. Mike Rhodes in Vietnam, 5 days. 5 days left on his tour, and a sniper shot and killed him. Vastly different situations. But like us all, they were counting on tomorrow. They were counting on tomorrow. But there is no guarantee of tomorrow. There is no guarantee of tomorrow. Now, I just want to talk to you about it a little bit tonight, maybe in a little different way than you might think of. Obviously, there's no tomorrow for the lost. Look, if you will, very familiar portion of Scripture, John chapter 3. Some of the most well-known verses in the Bible, and usually especially John 3:16. But I want you to go just past that. I want you to go to John chapter 3. And I want to look at verse 17. Verse 17, John chapter 3 and verse 17. The Bible says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." He's already condemned. Hey, listen, there is no tomorrow for the lost man. He's already been condemned. That's already passed. You said, well, some people say, well, the Lord didn't condemn them. No, because he said they were already condemned. He came that they might be saved. He didn't come to condemn them because they're already condemned. That condemnation has already been passed upon them. And the truth of the matter is, every man, woman, and child on this earth that is lost is living on borrowed time. Living on borrowed time. There's no guarantee for them, all right? Truthfully, the sentence has been given. All they're waiting on is for that sentence to be carried out. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That is the sentence upon every lost man in this world. Hey, that was the sentence you were under before you got saved. There's no tomorrow for that lost man. He cannot be counting on tomorrow because, hey, sentence already been passed upon him. There's prisoners in Texas down in the area around Conroe in that area, and they're on death row. They're on death row. They're just waiting for the sentence to be carried out. Now, they may be doing everything they can to keep it from being. They may be posting appeals, and they may be doing all that they can possibly do. But the truth of the matter is, they've already had the judgment passed down on them. They've been found guilty, and the judge has told them, hey, you're going to be put to death. You're going to suffer the death penalty. Hey, just like those people on death row, the lost man, same situation. He's lost. There's no tomorrow for him. No tomorrow for him. He can count on nothing because he is already condemned. And we can probably sit and agree with that and say, preacher, I understand that, but I want to say this to you. There is no tomorrow for the living.
Amen.
No tomorrow for the living. So now, wait a minute. We'll take your Bible and go with me to James chapter 4, all right? James chapter 4. Once again, these are well-known passages of Scripture. We're not pulling something out. You say, well, I never saw that before. No, it's familiar Scripture. We've seen it. We know what it says. When we read it, you'll say, yep, heard that. In James chapter 4, verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow.
Right.
For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Notice what the Bible says. Hey, boast not. Remember, Proverbs 27, boast not thyself of tomorrow. The Bible says here, for we know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It's even a vapor. It's even a vapor. Hey, there's no tomorrow for the living. You say, what do you mean? I mean, there's no guarantee you're going to see the sun come up tomorrow. There's no guarantee whatsoever. You say, well, I went to the doctor and he said, I'm healthy. Healthy people die all the time.
Yes, sir. Amen.
They die suddenly. They die suddenly. I've gotten phone calls and I've had somebody tell me so-and-so passed away, and I've had to stop and say that one more time.
Yeah, amen.
Yep. I mean that. I just couldn't believe it. I remember when Nathan Patterson called me, and he called me and told me my dad died. I said, what?
Yeah.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he had left a message on my answering machine. I wasn't there, and man, I had to push that button and go back and listen to it again at least one, maybe two more times. Because what he said is, my dad died.
Right.
I said, nothing wrong with your dad. He broke his legs. That's not death. But he died. Hey, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Hey, there is no guarantee of tomorrow for you and me.
Right.
So what does that mean? Well, I say this to you. Life is for living. Life is for living. Now, I don't mean in the worldly sense, all right?
Amen.
That worldly sense of self-indulgence, get out there, hey, you've only got a short time, just live it up, you know? The old beer commercial said you only go around once in life, so grab for all the gusto you can.
Right.
I would say to you, you do only go around once in this life,
yes,
but you need to be careful what you do with it, all right?
Oh, yeah.
But life, that life is for living. You and I who are saved, you and I who are saved are the only ones that are truly alive.
That's right. Amen. Come on.
We're the only ones truly alive. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. But we've been quickened. We've been made alive. We've been made alive. The truth of the matter is, before you got saved, you were a dead man walking, all right? Man, the world's nuts today about zombies. Blows my mind, you know. People watching, I understand there's TV shows and all that kind of stuff. I'm thinking, what in the world would you want to watch something like that for? But some people are obsessed with that. Hey, listen, that's what you were before you got saved. You were a dead man walking. You were as good as in hell.
That's right.
You'd have breathed your last, you'd have been there.
Right.
But wait a minute. God did something for you.
Amen.
God did something for you. When you came to him by faith, you put your faith and your trust in him, he made you alive.
Oh, yeah.
He brought life to you. That life has been given to you. That life that he's given us is for living, all right? It's for living. Now, I don't mean, hey, hot dog, I'm going to take my savings, go down and buy me a sailboat and move to the Caribbean and live it up. Those people aren't living, they're existing. They're just existing. And there's a multitude of people in this world today that are just existing. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, well, I'd like to try a little bit of that existence. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. God gave you a life. He didn't give you life to waste it. He didn't give you life to waste it. He didn't put you here and say to you, okay, now you're here, just live it up. But there's multitudes of people, that's what they're doing with their life. They're wasting it. They're not doing anything that counts. And just stop and think about them. Here they are. They're living. They're doing well. Some people are excited. They're financially independent. And the money is there. And they don't have to worry about any of that kind of thing. And the world would look at them and say, boy, they're really living. No, they aren't. They're just going through the motions. They're wasting their life. Wasting their life. My mom, for some reason, before she died, she subscribed to these rag magazines. Now, I'm pretty sure what happened is somebody called her on the phone and said, we want you to support some charity. Now, you don't have to give anything, but if you'll subscribe to these magazines, and you can do it, because I've got those phone calls before, and I've listened to every magazine they've had, and I said, no. And I'm pretty sure Mom, when she subscribed, didn't really know what she was subscribing to. But man, did she forevermore subscribe. She'd been dead now for 3 years. Magazine's still coming. Still coming to get one out of the mailbox on a regular basis. And it's those, you can look at the stuff on the front cover. And it's all about famous people. The entertainers of the world, movie stars. People oftentimes, I read their name and I think, who is that? Never heard of them. But man, and it's all in there about them and their wonderful life. And hey, they've been seen. They actually go to the grocery store. You say, you're kidding. No, I'm not kidding. It's there. You say, why you read? I read every issue. It's so exciting. No, I don't. But I mean, it's amazing sometimes. And the world would look at that and think, oh man, that's really living. No, they're just wasting their life. Wasting their life. Got an opportunity to do something. I want to tell you something. Living without doing is a waste. Amen. Living without doing is a waste. To take your life and just live it without doing anything, I mean something worthwhile, I believe it's a waste, but not only that, I believe it's a sin. Amen. I believe it's a sin for you and I. If we're alive, then we ought to take our life, and our life ought to be made to count for something. It ought to be making an impact. You need to live, as I say it, live beyond yourself. Why? Because there's no tomorrow. There's no tomorrow. And anything that you're going to accomplish, need to get it done. Get after it. Well, I'm waiting for the circumstances to be just right. They never will. They never will. Man, take your life and invest it. I remember, boy, I've preached to teens in school for years. And I've told them, look, I've tried to invest myself in you. Now I want you to take your life and you invest it for God. Do something with it. Don't just live. It's okay to get you a job, fine, and make big money. Wonderful. I'm not against that. I hope you do. I hope you can drive a new car every year and live in a nice house. But that's not living. Living is taking your life and making it count for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do something that counts. Do something that has a purpose. I mean, what in the world is your purpose in this life? I'm just marking time. Crossing off the days, you know? Well, man, guys do that in jail. And we've all seen TV shows, movies, and the guy's scratching on the wall there. You know, he's been there so many days. Or this guy's been washed up on this deserted island, and he's got a stick, and he's putting notches in it. I'll be honest with you, that's what a lot of people are doing today. They've got their life, but they're not doing anything with it. I mean, nothing's going to count. And the only thing they've got to look forward to is a hole in the ground one of these days. Then their body will be lowered into it. And they say, well, I'm going to heaven. But what's going to meet you there? What's going to meet you there? Just to take your life, not do anything with it. Man, I what a sad thing. Find a purpose for your life that's going to last past you. It's going to last past you. I've looked a lot of times at my life, and I've invested in a lot of people that have wasted my investment. Man, their life is a total waste, but I did everything I could for them when I could. I did everything I could to help them, to point them in the right direction. I don't look at it and think that's my fault. No, you took what I gave you, and I invested in you, and you blew it. You just wasted it. Hey, well, God's blessed you. You've got a life. Now, what are you doing? What are you doing with that life? You see, there's no tomorrow for the living, but hear me, there's no tomorrow for today's opportunities. There's no tomorrow for today's opportunities. Today's opportunities are just that. They're today's. They're today's. How many of you, now be honest, you don't have to be embarrassed. How many of you ever been to a timeshare presentation? Yeah. Remember the pitch? You got to do it when? Today. You've got to take advantage of it today. This offer will not be on the table tomorrow. I've sat there a lot of times and thought, liar, liar, pants on fire. There ain't no way in the world that if I came in tomorrow with X amount of dollars and said, okay, I want 2 weeks of this timeshare, did you say, nope, nope, nope. You had your chance yesterday. And we gave you that spa. You know, the one you inflate? Wonderful gifts, wonderful gifts. And they try to tell you, boy, it's right now, it's today's opportunity. Well, I'll tell you this. I didn't believe them then. I wouldn't believe them if I went to another, in which I have absolutely no intention of ever doing. But I'm going to say this to you. Say this to you. Today's opportunities are today's. There's no tomorrow for them. You cannot count on having a chance tomorrow what opportunity has offered to you today. You don't know that you'll have that chance. Therefore, whatever today's opportunity is, you need to act on it. You need to take advantage of it. I mean, just plain and simple. I'm told, and I've read this illustration, I assume it's true, I'm told that D.L. Moody, great preacher, and that he preached. He had a church in Chicago, and he preached one Sunday and decided, I'm going to give the people a week to consider their decision. So at the end of that message, he didn't press them to make a decision right then. That week was the week of the Great Chicago Fire. And many of those people never had another chance to decide. He never saw them again. Many of them lost their life. Hey, they didn't have a chance. I'm telling you, the opportunities that come your way, today's opportunity, there's no tomorrow for them. God gives you an opportunity. I'm saying to you, you ought to serve God when you have the opportunity. You ought to just serve God when you have the opportunity. Witness to the lost when God gives you the opening, all right? And it's okay to try to create that opening, all right? But when God gives you that opening, take advantage of it and witness to people. Talk to folks. When God gives you an opportunity to be a blessing.
Amen.
Don't say, well, I'll catch you next time. There may not be a next time. There may not be a next time. If you have that opportunity, there's no tomorrow for today's opportunity. You have to take advantage of them. There's no tomorrow for the living. You're alive today. You have that chance. God puts that open door in front of you. God gives you a chance. He allows your path to cross with somebody who has a need that you can meet. Don't wait. Take advantage of that opportunity. Take care of today's opportunity today. Now, the problem with a lot of people, I preach like that, some of them say, okay, no problem, but I'm going to go through life like this. So therefore, they don't see the opportunity. I don't see that one who has that need. I'll look past him. I'll overlook him because I don't have to worry about it. Oh, man, what a blessing you miss. What a blessing you miss. Listen, I realize I'm preaching as about as simple a sermon as you can get. But the problem is we don't get the simple thing. We have an opportunity. There's no tomorrow for this opportunity right now. You got to take advantage of that opportunity. You've got to take advantage of that opportunity because you never know what's going to happen. The truth of the matter is, tonight when we dismiss and we walk out of here, there's a chance that we'll never be able to gather together again just like this, ever. There's no guarantee that next Sunday all of us will be alive. No guarantee. There's no guarantee that we'll all have our faculties, our mental ability. I wish I could say without a doubt there's no problem, we don't have to worry about it. Well, we're not guaranteed that. How many times have you got a phone call, something happened to somebody, and you thought, man, I'd have never guessed that. I'd have never guessed that would have taken place. Let me just give you, really and truly, the last point in the message tonight. There's no tomorrow for love that ought to be given today. There's no tomorrow for love that ought to be given today. The saddest thing to me is to see people waste the opportunities they have to love people. Listen, how many times have you seen it? How many times you had somebody say to you, I wish my parents were here so I could tell them how much I love them. I wish my parents were here. They're gone. That day's done. It's over. Can't do it. They've passed away. And I'm going to tell you, you need to love your parents while you've got them. Need to love your parents while you've got them. Let them know, hey, I love you. Just let them know that. The flip side of that is you need to love your children while you can. You need to love them. They ought to know you love them. But we live in a time where people grow up and, man, there's so many messed up homes and things are disastrous. You ought to let your kids know. Take advantage of every moment you have with your children. Yes, they can aggravate the fire out of you.
Amen.
They can do that. Yes, they can be disobedient. I'm not saying don't deal with them as you should, but I am saying don't miss the opportunity to love on them when you can. Don't miss the opportunity to do that. Brother, past Wednesday night, I went to Triple S. I won't go into the long story, but they've started a church there, and it really came about because of COVID, and Brother Luke was preaching, and he was talking about, as he was giving announcements, he was talking about a church member they had. And he was telling him, he said, you know, last Sunday he was here. He said, I think he had one of the very best days he's ever had. And boy, he was greeting everybody, talking to everybody, and he died. He died Monday, I think. And he was gone. And Brother Luke, though, what he was doing was encouraging his people there. He said, now what you need to do, you got a chance, need to love on his wife as much as you can. She needs that. She needs that. You know, we miss opportunities to do that kind of thing. We don't take advantage of them. We get so caught up in our own world that we miss the opportunity to let people know how much you care about them. We just miss that opportunity. Can I say this to you? It's not necessary to wait until there's a death in somebody's family to say, well, I just want you to know how much we love you. Why in the world can't we tell people that all the time?
Amen.
Why can't we live our life that way, letting people know we love them, we care about them, and we show it. We not only tell it, but we show it all the time. Too often, though, we get peeved over some little something or other, and it causes us to get puffed up, and, you know, the lip pooches out, and here we go. Oh, man, life's too short for that. There's no tomorrow. There's no tomorrow. What a blessing it is that God gives us family. He gives us parents. He gives us children. He gives us friends that we can let know, hey, I just want you to know I love you. You're important to me. You're important to me. Those are simple words, but they ought to be spoken by us to other people. I believe as a church family, I believe every Sunday we ought to look around. I believe every Sunday we ought to look around and think, okay, who's not here? And during that week, there ought to be a phone call. There ought to be a moment or two where you just get on the phone, hey, listen, I missed you Sunday. I want to let you know that. Just want to let you know. Missed you being there. Hey, what in the world's wrong with us taking advantage? There's no tomorrow, folks. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. We need to take care of some things today. You depart from your family. We need to be careful about separating when the only thing's been done is harsh words have been spoken. We got mad, and there's bitter feelings, and that's the way we left. Oh, listen, don't leave it like that. Don't leave it like that. Don't think, well, hey, it'll be okay. We'll have plenty of time to straighten it out. No. Hey, you may walk out of the house tonight in anger, but you might return in sorrow. And there's no way to say, make it up. I've said this. I believe the words, I love you, are best said to folks who are living. I think as my dad used to say, don't send me flowers after I'm dead. If you don't send me some while I'm alive, okay? I don't know if you've noticed, but people who have passed away cannot smell those flowers. They cannot see those flowers. Why in the world? And I realize it doesn't have to be flowers, but it could be the words. And that's things we ought to use. We ought to use while people are alive, folks. We need to take that advantage. I've seen many people say those three words to a corpse. I love you. But boy, it should have been. And I don't mean in every case they didn't say it beforehand. Don't misunderstand me. But those are words that definitely ought to be spoken when somebody's alive. We've got the opportunity to make an impact. Hey, listen, I'm saying to you, don't count on tomorrow. Don't count on tomorrow. I believe God's people, I think we ought to strive to the best of our ability to do at least one thing a day that's going to count for something beyond you. For something beyond you. Lord, do more in a day than just sit down and count your money and figure out how close you are to retirement. Or how long you can survive retired, you know, whatever. I mean, there ought to be more to it than that. There ought to be more to our life than just taking every day and just let it pass away and waste that opportunity. And be on the lookout. Look for God to send somebody across your path. You can be a blessing to. Look for somebody you can be a help to. Just something that you can do. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be a huge thing. It doesn't have to be life-changing. But it's just those little things. Hey, it's those little things that make a difference. My son called me several times this last week, hounding me to death. No, I was kidding about that. I never. I'm always glad my kids call. I don't know how y'all are, but I'm always glad my kids call me. I'm never thinking, here we go again, all right? I'm always glad when they call. But he called me and he said, hey, Dad, somebody mowed your grass. And I didn't think, doggone it, I wish people would leave it alone. I'm sure they didn't do it the way I would have done it. Man, I was just thankful. Thank God somebody mowed my grass while I was gone. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Somebody just decided, hey, saw it, needed to be mowed. They mowed it. Thank God for them. Thank God for them. I'm glad they did. I'm glad they did. Hey, it's little things. Little things. Just little intimate. You know, most of us would not turn down a dish somebody cooked, right? Would you? Somebody rang your doorbell and said, man, I fixed this, lasagna for you. I fixed this, whatever. Here it is. We wouldn't go, oh, no. No thanks. I don't like that kind of stuff. Most of us take it in. Why'd you do it? Just want to be a blessing. I had a lady come to my door yesterday that wants me to do something. And she made an appointment. She made an appointment to come back. And she said, I'm going to bring some cookies when I come. I'm not coming empty-handed. Amen. I said, please don't. I hate cookies. Please don't bring cookies. Now, I did do this. I said, ma'am, that's great. I love cookies. They're not going to have raisins in them, are they? Hey, you know, it's okay if you put in an order when you get a chance, right? So I thought I'd just write. She said, nope, no raisins. I said, good, I'll look forward to it. I look forward to it. Not going to turn down. She said, what if they'd had raisins in them? I'd have taken them. You can pick them out. I would have taken them. I'm not going to be there. But you know what? That is a very little thing. But I'm going to tell you something that makes a difference. Makes a difference. Hey, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? What are you saying, preacher? Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying don't figure tomorrow. Amen. Tomorrow. Because there's no guarantee of tomorrow. Right. What we're going to do, we better decide to do it. And I think we ought to decide that every tomorrow we're going to do something to be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. All it may take is a phone call. Mm-hmm. Just a phone call. Doesn't have to be something big. Just be a blessing. Just to be a blessing. It's going to make a difference for you. My brother and I grew up. My dad was a pastor, as you know. And we were in Georgia. That's where I was born. My brother lived there for 11 years. I lived there for 8. And there's two people in the church. One was Aunt Bessie. Okay. That was an aunt, and we had an uncle.
Right.
Neither one of them were kin to us.
No, sir.
Neither one of them were kin to us. We had Aunt Bessie. Don't know how it turned out this way, but it was Uncle Benny.
That's right.
And Aunt Bessie. Now, they weren't kin to each other. They weren't kin to each other, but that's the way we always referred to them. I never called them anything but Aunt Bessie or Uncle Benny. You said, what made him special?
Hey.
Little thing.
Little
things.
Amen.
That they would do for me.
Right.
Just little things. Just little things. It was to the point when my mom tells this, and I don't remember it, but when we first started, when they started the church, you don't have Sunday school, you don't have a nursery and all that stuff. But as the church began to grow, we began to build Sunday school classes, and then so it came time for me to go into Sunday school class. No, 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 no. I'd been spending that time with Uncle Benny. And it was time to go into Sunday school class. I don't want to go into Sunday school. I probably had to get a whipping to go into Sunday school class, all right? Because I thought that much of Uncle Benny because he did some little things. Little things. Got a picture. Got a picture in the family albums, black and white. He said, why? Because they didn't have color pictures in that day. Got a picture with us sitting in the grass. Uncle Benny's sitting between us. Holding this little bitty goat, and we've got a bottle feeding that goat to that kid. Little things. It didn't cost a dime, but it's little things. Can I say this to you? I'll never forget Uncle Benny and Aunt Bessie as long as I live. But I hadn't seen either one of them in 60 years, probably, nearly that. They're both dead. They've both been dead for a long time. Uncle Benny was an old man when I was a little bitty kid. But I'll never forget him. Who's going to remember you? Because you decided I'm going to take my life and I'm not just going to waste it. I'm not just going to waste it. I'm going to invest myself. I'm going to constantly be looking for a place where I can be a blessing. Be a blessing. I'm not going to let my little feelings get involved and keep me from being a blessing. You said, you ever get hurt? Yes. You ever get disappointed? Yes. But it's not worth worrying about. Not worth worrying about. Hey, boast not thyself tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know not what shall be on the morrow. Hey, take care of today. Take care of today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes tonight? Could I just ask you a question or two? Is there something you should have taken care of today that you haven't taken care of? Is there something that should have been taken care of? Maybe you need to ask somebody's forgiveness. Why don't you do that? Maybe somebody's asked for years and you've not given it. Maybe you need to do that. Maybe you just need to do that. Hey, ma'am, you're carrying a grudge. It could be somebody that's right here in this building tonight. So, preacher, who you been talking to? God. I haven't been talking to anybody else. But hey, don't waste your life. There's no tomorrow. It's today. If there's things you need to take care of, then boy, I hope you'll take care of it. If you need to come to the altar, I hope you'll come to the altar. Maybe the relationship that's messed up is between you and God. Maybe you need to come to Him. Heavenly Father, I pray now you'd help us tonight. Help us to see the truth that we better not boast ourselves of tomorrow. We better realize, hey, our life, no guarantee of tomorrow. What we're going to do, we need to take care of it today. We need to make a pact that every day we're going to do something to be a blessing. We're going to look for that opportunity. Lord, would you help us to do that? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would